I bought a wall.
You got some? I've got some more for you here.
Thank you.
Just in case. Leave the bottle underneath here so you can have some more if you need it.
Got water, had breakfast, ready to go to bed. That's all right if you get sleepy, but it might be good if you don't go to sleep, all right? My name's Charles. This is my wife, Lori. Stand up, will you? This is a star wife, okay? She's been with me all over the world. I want to introduce Juliet Ryle to you. We've known her since we've been in England. And, you know, God works through relationships. And God knitted our hearts with them 16 years ago, roughly. And she knew somebody in the fellowship here. And I want to thank Andrew, and I want to thank Duncan for inviting me to come. It's a real pleasure. Never knew I'd find this oasis here in this part of England. Really not here many times, just never been to Mazaro. Spain. Spain. Now, I speak with a Southwest accent. Southwest Texas, that is. So, am I throwing anybody, or are you going to follow me? I've been a missionary, just simply that, and lived in foreign countries for about 33 years, full time, not just a, you know. And we came to England to help establish a new Christian Bible college in Sussex, with a couple from Sussex who had a vision from God, and we came over and I'm a church planter. I planted churches in Central America for 7.5 years. And a Bible school planted. And so we came over to help, and we thought we'd be there 2 years. And we prayed with them, and they said, "Can you stay 2 years?" And we said, "Yeah, 2 years." Yeah. And I just, Gloria and I said, "Well, we about that time God will give us a new assignment somewhere else in the world." Well, I said this morning, so much for my discernment. We've been there almost 16 years. God had His plans. We had ours. Amen?
Yes.
And isn't that always the truth?
That's right.
We seem to have our own plans, and God's got plans for us.
Yes.
If we'll just listen, if we'll just obey, and so forth. And I'm bringing you a message this morning. This is not a hot message. This is not something out of my hot message drawer. Okay? This is for you. This is from the heart of the Lord. It's for you. And it's what God's saying to you individually. It's what God's saying to churches. It's what God's saying to the church around the world. Because I don't know whether you realize it or not, but we're stuck. We're just kind of stuck. We're stuck on something. God's saying, move ahead. All right? Would you agree? All right. Yeah. So, how many of you got a Bible? If you got a Bible, raise your hand. Got a Bible? Do you have a Bible? Does anyone have a Bible? I want to get out in front of that infernal thing. If you have a Bible, good. Turn to Isaiah 43. Get to know Juliet, because she's a leader in her church up in Taberno. And they got a good group of people up there, but she's a leader, and she's a real gem, a jewel. And we've known her a long time. I like this.
Yeah.
People can get touched and don't
even. Yeah.
Let's bow our heads. Father, I want to say this. Lord, for all my brothers and sisters who are represented here today, God, we've not come here for any reason other than to meet with you. God, that is our only agenda.
Mm-hmm.
We've come to lift you up. We've come to praise and worship you.
Thank
we've
you.
Come to open up our hearts, oh God, and release mm-hmm. our love and our adoration for you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And I release you, Holy Spirit. I ask you to come in power. I ask you to come and till the foul ground that's in our hearts.
Jesus.
I ask you, Lord, to plant your word. I ask you to give me the words, and Lord, let us all understand that without you, we are absolutely lost.
That's right.
None of us has a prayer. None of us has a chance of that life that folks, most folks, only dream of. But we can enjoy.
Yes.
And it's all because of you. It's all because of you, Jesus,
yes.
And no other reason. We give you honor and glory, and we receive from you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, sometimes I'll be back behind this thing. Can you hear all right with that?
Yeah.
Am I not too close to it? Too far from it? All right. Isaiah 43, I want to read a scripture real close, and I want to tell you about a dream I had. Isaiah 43, let me read in about verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? And will you give heed to it? I will even make rivers in the desert. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Years ago, Gloria and I we lived in Jamaica. We were on staff at Caribbean Christ of the Nations for 4 years, and I was the chief financial officer and business manager there, and taught about 7 different courses in the Bible College. And one night I had a dream, and had been to Kingston, the capital. That's not where the Bible College is, but had been to the capital. And I don't know if any of you have ever been to any of those countries like that, where you're in what we would call in England a roundabout, but they have traffic wardens who simply stand in the center of a street where there's 5 or 6 streets that all come together. And they're very pristinely dressed. They have on a white pith helmet and a blue tunic and white trousers and all the lanyards. And they have on white gloves, and they direct the traffic. And they look and see where the traffic's coming from, and they direct like that. And that's how you're supposed to know where you're to go. Yeah, and in the midst of this dream, I arrive at one of the roads that leads into this big, huge circle. And frankly, I didn't know which way to go. And I'm waiting for the hands to tell me. And finally, the hands told me. And I looked around me, and there were a number of people who saw the hand, who knew that that was the direction they were to take. Some were very hesitant. They were hesitant because of fear. They were hesitant because of a lack of understanding. But I knew which way to go. And I stepped off briskly and crossed the center of it and went right into where I was going. And so in that moment, in that dream, I understood that there were many people coming into this central place who are simply at a crossroads. They're at a crossroads. They need to know the right direction. They need to step off briskly into the right direction. They're standing at a crossroads. And everybody in the kingdom, believe me, needs a breakthrough. Now, I don't know whether you need a breakthrough in relationships. I don't know whether you need a breakthrough in your finances. I know there's been a tremendous economic downturn around the world. It's affected me and Gloria as much as anybody else. I have, for some 35 years, lived strictly by faith, never had a job, never had a wage, no one gave me a check on Friday. I don't know what that is. Okay. And we have to move by faith. And so our income has suffered about like everybody else's. And if you've had less than a 25% downturn, then we need your money. Just kidding. You can laugh at that. That's all right. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? And so times are tough. So, and God's got the answer for you. Thank God He's the only one who's got an answer for us. Amen? So anyway, Some of you need a breakthrough with your children. Some of you need a breakthrough in your jobs or you know whatever it is you do but we all need a breakthrough, and God has a breakthrough. And people keep searching for a magical how-to formula, and there's only one formula that I know of. That's to hear God and obey. Just simply that. And if we can do that, if we'll continue to do that, we'll have the kind of breakthrough that we need. It will ensure us the victory and the breakthrough we've been praying for, hoping for, crying for, wishing for, talking about, and it ain't happened. We in the Western world are the most enlightened Christians on the face of the earth. And I know that to be a fact. I've been to China, I've been to Australia, I've been to New Zealand, been to 40-some countries in the ministry, and we are the most enlightened. I mean, we go to all the conferences, we have all the tapes. Huh? I mean, now we got all the downloads on MP3, and, you know, we listen to Joseph Prince every day, you know. But all of these things have not made the difference. I mean, the tears, the long prayers, the counseling, and we've got revelation upon revelation and understanding upon understanding, and yet we've not had that breakthrough. And all of us needs a breakthrough of some kind, okay? But that great mountain is still in our road. It hasn't moved. There doesn't seem to be any way around it, nor any way over it. And it just seems to be there. And we've taken authority over it. We've cursed it. We've asked advice about it. We've gone to leadership about it. We've had prayers for it. You know. But if we could have that breakthrough, then we would have that peace, that joy, that great sigh of relief, and we could go on and be the greatest in God individually that we can possibly be. And that's true also of a fellowship such as this. And that's all God's asking. It really is a very, very simple thing. He doesn't hide the answers for us. But He wants to give us a breakthrough so monumental, so momentous, that it changes our relationship with Him, our relationships with each other, our relationships in our whole little world, whatever that world may take up. So, the only formula is to hear from God. God's ways are really not hidden from us. They're not obscure and so forth. So, He says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Will you not see it, or will you not understand it, and will you not give heed to it? Now, let me tell you what it means. That word new, it's the only place in the Old Testament where it's used specifically this way. It means something previously unseen or unknown. Something previously unseen or unknown. So, baby, you ain't seen it yet. You haven't even imagined it yet. 1 Corinthians 2 and chapter 9 and 10 says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared and keeps ready for him that loves it. Yeah? And so, He's talking about something brand new. I don't know what that is. In your life, it's going to be a breakthrough of some kind. It's going to be, it's unrecorded. It's beyond your imagination or comprehension. In other words, there's no navigational charts. There's no maps you can follow, folks. There's no blueprints for it. And if you want something that you've never had before, you'll have to do something you've never done before. And so God is saying to all of us, myself included, that He's stretching me beyond my borders. He's stretching Glory and I beyond that which we've experienced. He wants to stretch every one of us beyond that which we have experienced up to this point in time. Amen? So, God's raising up a people. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Is that not what He said? So whether we realize it or not, whether we can see what He's doing or not, He is building His church. But in this day and in this time, God is raising up a body of people that isn't complacent, that will not settle for second best. How long are you sick and tired of settling for second best? Are you sick and tired of making choices and decisions that just ultimately wind up with what you used to get? I am. I am very, very tired of it. And I'm ready to be stretched. I'm ready to be, you know, whatever. God's able. God wants to give us the very, very best He's got. And Matthew 11 says that the Bible, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. Now, basically, it's this. It's no different than Caleb said, I know where my mountain is, God. I've waited 45 years for it, and I want my mountain. Now, I don't know about you. I want what God's got for me. Okay, that's my Canaan land, and I want it, whatever it is. But I realize I'm going to have to make some changes. I'm going to have to make some adjustments before I'm able to do and get from God what He has for me. And each and every one of us has to do exactly the same thing. So I know this. God's raising up men and women today who will cast off all restraint. Cast off all restraint. will move to kick in the gates of hell, if necessary, to get that which God has for them, all right? And is rightfully theirs. And God wants to do a new thing in our lives, and in our fellowships, and in the church universal, okay? So we've all come to a crossroads. Now the big question is, where do we go from here? God showed me a church that is accomplishing what Jesus wants it to accomplish. I have seen that church in my spirit. And I said, oh God, what is going to have to happen in order for us to see the church that I've just seen in my spirit? And God just simply said to me, go and tell my people that at this moment I have them poised on the threshold of the greatest breakthrough in their lives that they ever could have imagined. If they will listen to what I'm saying and will heed it. It's kind of like Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Don't remember the former things. I'm doing a new thing. Will you not recognize it and give heed to it? Now, we got to give heed. Just simply that. So whatever God's saying to you this morning in your spirit, if He's saying nothing, fine. You've just come and listened to a message. But if He's saying something to you, then take it to heart. Okay, we prayed God would, the Holy Ghost would come and plow up fallow ground. So, we've all got fallow ground.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying, Lord, I got the biggest fallow ground because I've got to speak to people. So come and till the fallow ground in my heart.
Yeah.
And make your changes in me and challenge me and change me.
Precious
Lord. So, God said, it's possible. Everything is within your grasp if you will do the following things. Number one, forget your past. Forget your past. You can write it down. If you're a Bible, if you're a note taker, take it. Okay? You're going to have, you and I, now I'm talking to me too, okay? Going to have to make an irrevocable separation from the past, no matter what. An irrevocable break, all of it. You and I are going to have to lay down forever who we were, huh? What we did, what we accomplished. Whatever has been important to you in the past, you got to leave it back there. Now, we're going to go on through what I know God's saying, all right? But that's number one. You've got to leave it behind you. Let me read you a scripture. You can turn over there. If you're pretty quick, I'm going to go to Philippians, I think. Yeah, Philippians. I'm going to go to about Philippians chapter 3. I don't know how you feel about Philippians. I mean, I could just go there and pitch my tent. And stay for a long season, okay? Philippians chapter 3, see? Paul's talking about pressing toward the goal. He was always pressing toward the goal. He was always running at something. He was never running from anything. He was running from Jesus on the Damascus Road and got stopped. Most of us were running from the Lord and got stopped. I don't know about you, I got seriously arrested. And brothers and sisters, when I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I thought, something done happened to me. I don't know what it was, but something done happened to me. All right? But he says, I have not obtained, nor am already perfected. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. At this point in time, Paul's been in the ministry 30 years. Don't you think that by 30 years, he would have known why Jesus laid hold of him? One would have thought so. But he's admitting, right, I don't really know.
No.
Now, not that he didn't have a clue. And so most of us with gray hair are in this building this morning, and I don't know how long you've known the Lord, but you probably, like Paul, don't have a full understanding of why Jesus Christ laid hold of you. Now, do you, like Paul, want to know?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen? I mean, that's what he's saying here. Brothers, I don't count to myself to have apprehended. But, listen to this. But there's one thing I do. Not four or five things. One thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. And in his case, he's raised people from the dead. He's seen innumerable lives changed as a result of the gospel. He's raised up spiritual sons and daughters. He's planted church. He's done all that. He said, but I want to know why Christ laid hold of me. Well, that's a revelation. Huh? Why did he? Yeah. He says, I haven't gotten it yet, But I leave those things which are behind, all of the glory, all of the wonderful things God's done. I stretch forward, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the only reason we're here. If you came here for any other reason other than to glorify God, you need to go home. You're here for the wrong reason. Now, I mean that with love, but I speak the truth in love. We can be no other reason. See? And Paul lays it out here, forgetting those things which are behind. Folks, we can't live in if only. If only. If only.
That's right.
I regret. Hey, I don't know about you. If you made mistakes in the raising of your children, do me a favor. Yeah. Do yourself a big favor.
That's right.
Forgive yourself.
That's right. Get on with it. Yeah.
You did the best you could.
That's right.
Under the circumstances. And if you didn't, you're still forgiven.
Yes.
But our problem is we keep carrying this stuff around.
That's right.
See, we keep living in the past. Well, if I had done that, no. Being tied to that past makes you you have no capacity for what lies ahead of you. And that's why Paul says very powerfully, forgetting those things which are behind and stretching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on. Now say, I want to press on.
Press on.
Does anybody here that want to press on? Because if you didn't say that, you're in the wrong place. I mean, we've got to press on. But you got to see, past hurts. I can't think of any time in my life I've been more hurt than since I've been in the ministry. I have suffered horribly at the hands of leadership.
Yep.
And there were times I'd say, God. It's all right, sister. That'll be €5, please. Okay. I don't want to embarrass the pastor.
I'm not embarrassed.
I switched my phone off.
It's a funny thing. We belong to a church in Gosport in Hampshire, and the pastor got tired of all that. See, and they used to put this sign up: turn it off, turn it off, turn. Finally, he said, "You're going to be a fine every time your cell phone, your mobile goes off." The first Sunday, his went off. Am I right? Yes. Pastor David is sitting up there in the front with his wife, and his phone went off.
Turn around.
Yeah. And you know, and I've never seen anybody go quite that red. I mean, it was horribly, horribly embarrassing for him. Yeah. Listen. Put them on the altar. All the hurts, all the transgressions, the rejections, the abandonment, all that mess you've been through, put it on the altar and just let it burn up to the Lord. Okay? Because it's part of that past. And it and any part of that you carry on, you can't go. You can't do it. See? All the flattering tongues that flattered you and the ones that cursed you, you better put them in the past. You cannot carry them with you. See? You may have to distance yourself from some people you genuinely love. I'm just telling you, they're part of your past. God's not saying leave them. He's just saying hold them at arm's length. Love them. Huh? Continue to recognize them. But he's going to distance them. How many, when you came into the kingdom, first thing happened, he started separating you from your friends. Because your friends it had to do with influence in your life. And so many of our friends had too much influence. And they ultimately could have led us down a path God didn't want us to go to, or separated us from our intimacy with Him, and we knew we had to do that. Well, there's folks in our family, immediate family, and extended family, same way.
Yes.
They have too much influence. But that doesn't mean that you don't continue to love them and hold them dear. Are you with me? Are you getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
So the important thing is that you put all that stuff behind you, see? Oh, and by the way, you cannot necessarily affiliate with everything that says it's Christian. Huh? Or has holy something in front of it or holy something behind it, right? Because it may be a full of holes. Everything that glitters is not gold. And everything that says it's Christian is not sanctified. Yeah?
Very good. Very good.
If you think so, just look around you. Everybody here is not 100% sanctified. I wish that were true, but it isn't. Now see, it's easier to receive when you can ha 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 just a little bit, see? But you can't talk about the good old days. You can't. That's part of the past. Carrying that past around is going to incapacitate you for what lies ahead. Jesus said in Luke 9:62 that no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. The literal translation is, and looking to the things behind is fit for the kingdom of God. So, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off until some other day. You got to seize the day. But don't look back. See? The Israelites, whom God delivered from Egypt, the remembrance of and the longing for the things of the past were the seed bed that flourished and kept them out of the promised land. They wouldn't. It's what used to be that they wanted. Anyway, so we got to put to death forever old memories, old hurts, old ways and methods, old victories, defeats, failures, whatever they were, whatever we accomplished, whatever was important, whoever was important, anything save Jesus to which we have attached our identity. If your identity is in who you were, what you did, the number of zeros in your bank account, I got a lot of zeros in mine. Now listen, Jesus doesn't live in the past. Jesus' name is Resurrection. Are you with me? It's Resurrection, and with Him everything is new, and He says He's doing a new thing. Can we not see it, and will we not get with it, get in step with it, or heed to it, yeah? So, this irrevocable separation from our past must take place. And for some of us, you're already hearing the Holy Spirit, and you're standing at a crossroads, and you're already hearing what the Holy Spirit wants you to separate yourself from, or separate yourself unto, whatever that case may be. But it all has to do with that past, because here we are, and He's given directions hither, thither, and because of the baggage we're carrying, and the enormous weight that's still on us, and the unforgiveness to ourselves, or unforgiveness towards somebody else, they're keeping us from stepping off briskly and going down whichever road He wants us to. I'm going to read this to you. I read this to your church, I think. You don't even have to go there. I'm going to go to Ephesians. We were talking about, who was it? Brother Duncan, you're ministering out of Ephesians. But I'm going to read this to you. If you don't have Amplified Bible, it won't sound like this, but I want you to hear this, okay? This is verse 10 in chapter 2 of Ephesians, and this is Amplified. We're God's own handiwork. His workmanship and masterpiece.
Yes. Right.
Don't you feel like a masterpiece today? Oh, you don't?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you do. Mike says, oh, yes. I'll bet you some days you don't.
That's right.
Okay, all right. Recreated in Christ Jesus, that's us. Born anew, that's us. That we may do those good works which God predestined and planned beforehand.
Yeah.
For us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now that sums the whole thing up, folks. He's already made paths. He's already prearranged. He's already chosen the good works for us to do. I just want to find out, what are they? And I want to get on with it. Yeah? And I don't want that past to interfere with me. I mean, I've got as sordid a past as anybody here. But I'm not going to tell you about it. Anymore, I don't need to. I'm just saying, I'm just a sinner. Saved by grace. And here I am before you. And all that's gone. And I have much to have not forgiven myself for. But I have forgiven myself. Because I've received His. And you should too. And you should just go on. So I'm not going to live in a prison house of regrets. Hey. Don't regret them. Forget them. Okay? And just go on. It upsets me that people can't grow in God and make mistakes. I mean, even in the church today, we're the only group we know of that shoots our wounded. Yeah. Somebody makes a big mistake and... Come on. That's not love. That's not Christianity, okay? Everybody makes mistakes. There's people in this body, myself included, who have had horrible failures. Some of you, even since you knew Christ, you've had moral failures or economic failures or personal relationship failures, or we've moved from church to church. Like I said this to Juliet, and I don't think it went off in her spirit and may not go off in yours yet either. But I want to say this. You didn't get to choose your mom and dad, did you? Anybody here get to choose their mom and dad? I want that banker to be my dad. I want this barrister lady here. I want her to... No. You didn't get to choose. God divinely chose, did he not?
Yes.
Now we're talking about these paths he has to walk down, right? He's chosen everything.
Yes.
That just tells me I better be where I ought to be. Yeah. Okay. But the church has become so portable that there's so many people in the body of Christ who wants to decide who their church family is going to be. And they move from church to church to church to church, and they're never fruitful. They never grow. They never mature. They cause problems. They're full of hate and venom. And you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, it may not manifest quite that strong. I may be a little over the top in saying that. But the truth and the reality is that when you get born again, boom, born again, born of God, born of Jesus, they get to choose, he and daddy get to choose who your church family is. And I told Juliet, 37 years ago, I'm listening to a tape by somebody you'd know if I told you, and all he was talking about was being in the right place at the right time. You got to be in the right place at the right time, because God has orchestrated your life in such a fashion that the people that you need in your life to affirm you, to help you, to assist you, to encourage you, to pray for you, to do all the things that God has that flow out of relationship and the right leaders. Amen? 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 Uh-huh. All of that got to be in place. And this man said this. If God takes you somewhere, you stay there until he comes to get you.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, he may have a hard time finding you. That has its humor. Yeah. But, brethren, he may just let you stew in those places. And you may sit down under a terebinth tree and say, God, I haven't heard you in years. Where are you? Huh? I haven't been in sin. I haven't had a moral failure. And I haven't whipped anybody. And God says, you're not even in the right place. You're not even under my authority. If you were under my authority, you'd be back there in Victory Fellowship where you should be. And you wandered out of there 3 or 4 years because somebody offended you. You got the hump. Now, this is a physical manifestation of a spiritual problem. It's called the hump. You get the hump, and you wind up wandering somewhere. Hey, and you'll be a wandering vagabond for a long time until God finds you and brings you back where you ought to be. Are you with me? Do you believe I've told you the truth? Did the Holy Spirit speak to your heart?
Yes.
Pray before you make those kind of decisions, all right? All right, secondly this, he's doing these new things. I want to talk about nothing but the present. If you complain, you remain. And we're talking about the present, right? You got to embrace the present God has for you now, right? And be content with it. He's prepared this present for you. He's got an enormous investment in your life. He's used leaders to train you, to educate you, to equip you, to ready you. I love that. You're about to enter your harvest field. There is truly a harvest field out there. Years ago, I took a daughter and 12 other kids, and put them all in one big people carrier, and we went out and they went ministering in different churches and prisons, in fact. And these were kids from 12 to 17. And they were carrying authority with them. They were carrying anointing with them. They'd go into churches where there was... We went to that church in Modesto, California. 5,000 people in that church. Doors are 12 foot high. And above it, it said, "You are now entering the mission field." And everybody going out of that church did. And we had our kids ministering in that church. But there were some other churches in California where we had them ministering. And they would call people up for prayer. And what can I pray for? You know, people say, "Well, I'm sick," or whatever it was. And they said, "All right, I'll agree with you in prayer." And they just take their hands, and while they were praying, boom, the people were falling down. I mean, one right after another, like cordwood across the stage there. And the leaders ran up and said, "Ho, you can't do that here." "Can you please stop that?" They were embarrassed. They didn't carry that kind of power.
No.
And God was with those kids. Boom, 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 and the people just fell down. See?
Thank you, Lord.
And some of those kids today can't even hardly remember that. Some of them have wandered. God will get them back.
Sorry.
You know, I'm just saying that. So, let me go back to, let me hurry, Philippians. Just turn over to the right there. I was in Ephesians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 this time. Paul understood. There were times when Paul had need and lack, and there's times when he had abundance in his life. See? In chapter 4 he says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I don't care what your situation is. I don't care how dire you feel things are. Listen, God has your life in the palm of His hand. He's holding you right there. The devil cannot touch you. He can't snatch anything. He's not going to steal from you. You may think, "Well, the government, I don't know, the government." That could be the devil too, but I'm just saying. I'm not going to mess with that, but yeah. But if we don't learn to be content in the now, the enemy's going to continue to steal from us. He's going to, his number one goal is to separate us just a little bit from God's purpose for us. So I've got to be happy with my wife. I got to be happy with my ministry. I got to be happy with my gifting, my ability in God. I can't lust after this, that, you know.
Yeah.
I can't look at this guy and say, "Well, I wish I was as anointed as him."
Mm.
"Or I wish I had as much revelation." No. You see, if you get on a plane in London and you're going to North Carolina in America, and that plane is 2 degrees off course, you'll miss North Carolina by 630 miles. So all the devil wants to do is trip you up and get you off course just a little bit. I don't know how many, I think, corroborate me with it, I think that we've been offered like 3 churches in Great Britain. Is that right? Never took a one. We'll give you a church car and £40,000 a year. No. Don't you think that, woo-wee.
Mm.
Can I tell you a story? Have time to tell you a story?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I'm a man under authority. I just have to talk a lot faster. We got a friend, Dennis Kramer's his name, and he was a missionary in Mexico. I lived in Mexico for 7.5 years. But anyway, Dennis was down there, I'm going to tell you that story. I'm going to tell you a story about a fellow by the name of Buster Russell. He was a missionary in Mexico also, in the state of Nayarit, which has been in the headlines lately. But anyway, he was at Miracle Ministry. two or three of his children were born down there. Wife Judy, they had a rock and roll of ministry. You understand that? But invariably, in those countries, you come at odds with usually with the Catholic bishop. Okay, because if you're full gospel, and you got miracles happening, there ain't nothing happening in his churches. So now he's angry. See, and unfortunately, the governors and the bishops are just like that. They're just like brothers. So the bishop goes to the governor and says he wants Buster and his wife kicked out of Mexico. So he had 24 hours to get ready and leave, or they were going to arrest him. Now this is true story. So, but they used to go to America once a year, about like Gloria and I did, and he'd go minister in different churches. So they had 24 hours. So they packed up everything of any really value and put it in their little truck and headed for the Texas border from there about 1,500 miles. A couple of days later, they crossed over and they were in Texas and they were out. See? Now, he would have thought, I would have thought, you would have thought, what's wrong with this picture? I'm doing the work of God, been down here 8 years, miracle after miracle, started churches and Bible schools and bup, 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 and then I get kicked out of Mexico. What is wrong with that picture? But that's the way it was. So he hit some of the churches that he was supposed to go to, you know, because now they don't hardly have any money either. They're just like most missionaries. So they're at the end of the food chain. You understand that? So they started making rounds of churches. And he goes out to St. Louis, Missouri, big city, and he goes to a church where he'd gone before. But unbeknownst to him, that pastor had just died. So he goes into the church and ministers for 2 days, and you know, and people really get ministered to. And the elders came to him afterward and said, Buster, we believe that God has asked us to call you as our pastor. And now that you can't go back to Mexico, you know, and you've been in relationship with the church now for years, we just believe you're God's man for this church. And we'll give you a car, we'll give you money, we'll give you an expense account, we'll do all this, you know. And Buster, honest to God, I wish I was Buster and could tell it. He said, yeah, it's payback time, it's payoff time. You know, we were down in Mexico, we were being faithful to everything God asked us to do, and this is our reward. So he said to the elders, I'll tell you what, Judy and I will pray about it. And we'll give you a call. Now this is true. And they did pray, you know, and they prayed about it and left it in the hands of the Lord. And he went on and hit a couple of other churches. Went out to a little place called Farmington, New Mexico. It's where four states come together and has the highest percentage of alcoholic Navajo Indians in the United States. Okay, and here's this little church of about 250 people, and 90% of them are Navajos, and the rest are old hippies that never grew up. And so he goes in there and he spends a couple of days ministering to all of these people. And when everything's said and done, the elders came to him and they said, Buster, we really think that you ought to be our pastor. We want to call you as our pastor. And he's thinking, what happened to St. Louis? Make a long story short, he and Mama really got in a prayer mode and got before the Lord and hooked into heaven. And God said, you can go to St. Louis if you want to, but my blessings are in Farmington. And so he had to give it up. And it's for that reason that we never took a church. We never did that. Because that's not what God was saying. Yes. And I would have loved to, you know, it would have been nice and would have been a little easier, get a kickback, wouldn't have had the financial pressure on us all the time. You understand?
Yes.
That's not what God's saying. So you gotta be content with whatever present time God has given you. You may not understand it, but you must embrace it. You cannot lust for other things. If you complain, you remain. And I will tell you this. My little wife, no, I don't. She says, don't use me as an example anymore in your sermons. But the truth is that she realized I was pregnant with a vision, with a dream. And it was the fact that God was going to send us to England. We knew that. Okay, she knew that. But after about 4 years in a place, she kind of weary a little bit. And so she was kind of weary. And I think God said to her in her spirit, if you'll stop complaining, I'll promote you. Same principle.
Yes.
Be content with the... Is that what he said? Yeah. Be content with the present that you have, no matter what, see? And the devil just wants to get you off course, just off course a little bit, okay? It doesn't take much deception. The wisest man on earth was Solomon. Now, I'm not the wisest man on earth, but even I, in my limited wisdom, understand that one woman for one man is enough. For some reason, Solomon must have thought, well, I need a whole bunch, because I think he took on 300 concubines in addition to all the wives that he had, you know. And I don't know what in God's name a man would do with all that many women. So, I don't know about you, but I got to be content with my sphere of influence, my lifestyle, my ministry, the favor God has given us wherever we've gone and to whomever we went. See, I got to be content with this easy yoke He's put on me and not put something on me that He hasn't done. Because anything beyond that which God's called you to do will be a millstone around your neck. It'll be a burden. It'll be a yoke. You won't be able to carry it. Yeah? But in murmuring or complaining, God will not, He does not and will not release blessing. He didn't do it to the Israelites who all they did was, right? So why is he going to? So I stand at a crossroads, which way to turn? And unfortunately, the enemy's voice is usually the loudest. Would you agree? It's usually the loudest. He's trying to stampede us, see? Or he's trying to get our eyes off of something God has not manifested in our life yet. And it entices us. Huh? I mean, it's no different than the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things. We take jobs that we shouldn't have. We go places we shouldn't go. You understand? That's not being content with the present that God gave you. Amen? All right. Well, I'm almost done. Third thing is, we must, without fear, move ahead. You've got to move ahead. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, you've got to leave that past behind. You've got to embrace what He's got for you right this moment. And at God's command, we must step off the pavement and onto the path or the road where He wants us to go. Okay? I'm going to read that scripture again. Do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now, I have had people say to me, well, Brother Charles, everything that God's done, He's done. He's not doing anything new. Give me a break. I'm going to pray for you that God will rip the blinders off your spiritual eyes. Okay? Because He's doing new things, and He wants to do new things with us. And either we're rooted in the past, or we're grumbling and complaining about what it is now, and He can't move us on. We're just like those people who came down there and saw the white gloves moving, and they just stood there. Because of lack of understanding, because of fear. It was fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear. Come on. I take authority over the spirit of fear in your life. Yes. Whatever you're afraid of. If you're afraid of going broke, I want to tell you right now that a little old maid who wanted to speak up for her people had a very good chance of dying. But she knew she had to do something for God, and she said, well, if I die, I die, but I'm going to the King, bless God. So whatever it is, you've got to do it. You've got to move forward. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not know it? And will you not give heed to it? I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So God says He's going to do new things if we'll just accept His direction at the crossroads. And everybody here stands at a crossroads. You need a breakthrough in some area of your life, okay? So that new thing simply means different from the past, a thing not previously used. It's unfamiliar. It's not charted. There's no road maps, no navigational charts for us to follow as we put our hand into God's hand and move on into the future, all right? I know this scripture. I'm going to read it. It's Isaiah 30:21. In that day, you will hear a voice, the voice of your teacher behind you, saying, no, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the left or when you turn to the right. So His guidance is always there for us. But you got to stop. I'm going into the future. But I got to stop, and I'm not moving until I hear the voice of my teacher.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, for your benefit, that word teacher in your Bible has a capital T on it.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Yes.
Okay? Because there's lots of teachers out there, but none of them deserve the capital T. Amen?
Yes.
Or uppercase T, I'm sorry. Yeah. So there's new vistas, there's new dimensions, there's new plateaus, new challenges, new rewards. Anybody want to be rewarded this morning, this afternoon? Yeah? Yeah, you do, don't you? Fulfillments in the future with God, but we've got to forsake the old ways of doing things, the old patterns, the old methods, the old altars. You know, so many of us have built, because things worked for us before, we've built altars there. Kick them down. Kick them down. They're no good anymore. See, once you've offered a sacrifice or you've done something on it, get rid of the thing. All right? You believe me? She's sitting back here going, well, I don't know. Okay. I want to tell you, Spirit of God has got this thing in me.
Yes.
I'm telling you. And this is what He's saying. Prophetically, this is what He wants you to hear. So, anyway, so many of us are not experiencing the joys and the fulfillment that Jesus intends for us to have. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly to the overflowing. I said to the Full Gospel businessman a week ago today in Garucha, yeah, there was about 40 people there. We all had breakfast. I ministered afterward. But when I came into the kingdom, when I got born again, the day I got born again, I underestimated something. My underestimation of this thing called making a commitment was the immense joy and peace that I experienced from that day till this. I've never been able to explain the joy. I've never been able to explain the peace. But sisters and brothers, it's just there. And it belongs to each and every one of us. And many of us are not experiencing that yet. Some of it has touched us, yes. We've sucked in some of it. But God has a reservoir we have not even tapped yet. And I don't know about you, but God wants to give us the whole kingdom, not just enough to get by.
Right, absolutely.
Not just enough to get by, all right? Many people have turned the wrong way at the crossroads. Don't make that mistake. Make sure you do, right? One other thing I want to tell you. The children of Israel were led to the banks of the Red Sea because they've been led out of Egypt by Moses. They get to the Red Sea and they look at that and think, there is no way. I mean, come on. There is no way. I mean, you walk out here, you look at this ocean, you think, there is no way. Yeah. I can't get out there, right? And then this armed Pharaoh and the army are pressing. I mean, they're right behind. And here they come. And you know, we're going to die. And they say to Moses, let me turn over. It's Exodus chapter 14. You know, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. All right? Always. Always. All right. Now, I got to read this to you. Let's see. Verse 10, chapter 14. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Dear God, I would have been frightened. I would have been scared. You know, I don't know about you, but I mean, so they were very afraid. I think that's an understatement. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we can continue to serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. You know, Psalm 103 and 7 says that God spoke with Moses face to face. Only one in the Old Testament I know of that described that way. He had intimacy with God. If you have the kind of intimacy with God, and you can have, listen, and you can have,
amen.
He didn't have a corner on intimacy with the Lord
right.
Jesus.
Amen.
Don't you believe it? You know, the devil say, you old ugly thing, you can't possibly get that close. No, yes, you can.
Yes.
All right? But he spoke to Moses face to face, so Moses is hearing what he's saying. He says, don't be afraid, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again, no more, forever, final, full stop. That's heavy duty. Huh? And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, hang on to it. Okay. Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.
Yes.
And that's what God's saying to us today. Move into the future. You're standing at a crossroads. You know, you're in your present circumstances and situation. You think, well, God, isn't there more? Huh? God says, go forward and I'll perform the miracles for you. Our problem is this. We're so finite. We're so carnal. We want to see the miracles and then we'll go. And God says, no. He didn't do it for them. Why would he do it for me? Why will he do it for you? He will not. Moses says, go forward. And the minute they took one step, that was it. The waters parted. They looked behind them and, let's hurry. And then when they got through the Red Sea, they looked back and the seas closed up and killed all those Egyptians. See, but had they not moved forward, if you don't move forward, you're not going to see miracles.
Very good.
Yeah.
I could go on and on and on, ad infinitum, but I run the risk of ad nauseum. So I'm not going to do that. So, but God says this, leave that past behind.
Yes.
Now, I know he's spoken to everybody here about some aspect of that. Okay? It may be illnesses you had. I don't know. Okay? Embrace whatever situation, circumstance you're in. Embrace this fellowship. Embrace the leadership you've got. Amen?
Uh-huh.
Embrace the teaching. You know, embrace every aspect. Embrace the worship. Embrace the fact that you're sitting here being trained and equipped to do something for God because he has chosen paths for you to walk down that you might do great things for him. And many of us sitting here today haven't done one thing hardly, or we feel that way. You know, we think my little Christian life's been pretty insignificant. Well, it hasn't. But you don't get to look at the DVD till you get to heaven. And then you're going to see the lives you touched, the influence you had, all of the things that accrued to your credit, and you think, I did that? And then you'll hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what I want to hear. So let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we want to thank you for your presence with us today. We want to thank you, God, that we can truly walk away and leave the past behind. We can, Lord, just be content with whatever we find ourselves. We're happy with our mate. We're happy with our circumstances. We're happy with our bank account because you're in bigger control of that than we know. So, Lord, we're not going to go broke. But if things get bad, we'll just raise our hands to heaven like Esther and say, if I die, I die. If I die out here in Matharon or wherever I am, I'll just die. But God, you've got control over all that. You have a covenant with me, Jesus. You love me, Jesus, and you're going to take care of me. And you're going to see me through this mess. And Lord, I'm going to be content with what's happening here. And then I'm going to put a foot forward. You're going to do miracles. You said you'd make rivers in the desert. That's a miracle. So, Lord, I'm going to take that step of faith. I'm going to move out. I'm going to do what the Israelites did, and great and wonderful things are going to happen because I'm willing, ready, and able to move into the future, and I know that's your word for me, and I declare it with the words of my mouth in Jesus' name, and everybody who agreed with that said, Amen. Amen.